already this morning. Thank God for his mercy. Just on the way here, we got up real early. Like I always get up early, but we got up early and we left the house and said, man, the fog. And we got a few miles from the house and that fog absolutely lifted. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. We're driving down the road, and if that fog didn't clear, I would have hit a monster turkey. I mean, it came right out in front of us. And as I got to it, it swore back out. I said, Lord, thank you for it. Look, he just wanted us out here. And as we come, I don't know, maybe we're 25, 30 miles away. If we would have left at our normal time, which we actually left early. That's not normal for my family to leave early. We're always on time or late, okay? And so anyway, we got to leave. If we would have left on time, Mike, there was a car on the side of the road that just hit a deer. That would have been a deer we hit. So God's mercy and his provision already this morning, just in our travels to get here. And I was just thinking about it, brother. Today's October 1st.
Yeah.
October 1st is hunting season in New York.
Yes, it is.
It wasn't many years ago that I would rather have been sitting in the tree stand than sitting in the pew.
Yeah.
But God in his mercy changed my heart. Why? Because it's his goodness.
Amen.
It's pleasing to God that I would sit in the house of God. There's no other place I'd rather be, but there are many other places we could be dead and in hell.
Yeah.
Could be in prison, could be in jail.
Yep.
Could be out in the street, out there in the streets with a needle in our arm.
Yeah.
But God in his mercy has us sitting in the house of God. Why? Because it's pleasing to him that we're here today. So I just want to share a few minutes on what's pleasing to God. We're always worried about how God can please us. Do we ever stop and think for a minute, what's pleasing to God? What pleases him about my life? What pleases him that I could do that he would look down on me and say, this is good. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, that's what I want to hear, is that God would say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to die and head off to glory and have to have shame. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for those things you've done. What is pleasing to God? And I just want to spend a few minutes here this morning. If you're not awake, don't worry. I will wake you up with the way I preach. I'm not a quiet preacher. I'm very excitable when I preach. I like to get excited. I have things to be excited about.
Right.
Look, if we lose the excitement of serving God, there's nothing wrong with God. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with our hearts. We need to get that right. Look at it. We can get in that place where, man, we just get in this groove and it just becomes the same old mundane thing. It's the same old doing the same things. We get nothing out of our readings, nothing out of our sayings. Look, you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
You choose to stay there. We can get out of that. We just turn to the same God. That same God that when we're on the mountain is the same God in the valleys. He doesn't change. We look at God and go, God, what did you do? He said, nothing. What did you do? You went away from me. I didn't go away from you. I change it not. God doesn't change, and thank God he doesn't change. He's not bipolar. I'm just telling you the truth. That's a reality. Thank God he's not, because I couldn't handle serving a God like that. You know, one way, that would drive me nuts. Anyway, look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 here. We'll spend a few minutes in the Word, and we'll just see what the Lord does with it. And I thank you guys for your prayers. I thank you for, I'll tell a little bit about what's going on with Liberty Behind Bars. In the next service, Pastor asked me to give kind of a little update about the woman's home, and God is moving in that. You know, he's not moving at my speed, and that drives me nuts. But God never moves at my speed. It's always his speed. It's about how what he wants and in his timing. And that's been some of the hardest things in my life, is to learn how to walk with God in his time. Because my whole life, I've always pushed my time. It's about me. It's about what I'm going to do. It's about how I'm going to do it. It's about making a decision. When I would lose that in jail, I could easily get into that. I could easily allow them to tell me what to do. But boy, when it comes to allowing God what to do, I have a hard time with that. And so God is still teaching me how to live on his time. And so look what it says in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21 and verse 22. In Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, what's pleasing to God? Keep that in mind as we go through these scriptures. And it says, now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And I want you to know there's an I am in front of those words, well pleased. Why? Because God is speaking about his Son. Jesus Christ is well pleasing to God. Keep that in mind in your Christian walk, that Jesus Christ is well-pleasing to God the Father. Shouldn't he be to you? Shouldn't Jesus Christ? Look, we're always looking for physical things to give us happiness in life. And we forget about those spiritual things that God has given. Look, not everything's going to come in the physical. There are many times that I'll pray and I go, all right, you know, God, you know, I need so-and-so, or I need this and that. This has got to happen there. And then God slips something in there spiritually, and I don't even pay attention to it. I miss the blessing. Why? Because I'm always looking for that physical aspect of things. I'm always looking for that physical answer to prayer. But you know what? Jesus Christ is that well-pleasing one to God the Father. Shouldn't he be to us? And isn't it awesome that we get the opportunity and the privilege to serve him? Amen. We've lost. Look, it's an honor to serve Jesus Christ. It's an honor to be here today to be able to preach the word of God. He's given an honor to me. He's given me a responsibility with this Bible to take that and go out there and speak it. And what an honor and a privilege that a man would say, hey, look, can you come and preach at our church? That's an honor. It's a privilege. Yeah. And how dare we ever lose that? Yeah. Why? Because Christ is well-pleasing to the Father. He ought to be to us. He ought to mean something more to us than a religion. Get all the religious nonsense. It ain't going to help you in your life. Put that stuff down and get a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship is what changes, not religion. Religion never changed me. Never did me any good. It always left me the same person that I've always, you know, when I walk into jail and prisons today, and I get a new crew in there, and that's quite a bit of turnover since the bail reform. I'll go in there and I'll ask the men or the women this, I'll say, how come my Jesus is changing me and yours isn't changing you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's two different Jesus being preached in them jails.
Yeah.
One that changes their life and one that leaves a person the same way they've always been. The devil said he wants to be like the Most High God. Not the opposite, but the alike. He's going to try to take the place of Jesus Christ. And he's got those people in there yelling Jesus when it's the devil.
Yeah.
The devil. Why? Let me just say this. The devils fear and tremble. But let me ask you this. Does their belief change them?
No.
They're still going to bust hell wide open. They're still going to the lake of fire. And there are people who are living with the same belief as the devil, calling it salvation.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. I'm just telling you, that ain't. It's two different devils. Paul warns of that. If another come preach another Jesus.
Yeah.
With another gospel and another spirit, there it is, man. He's telling you right there. Those things are, and so that's what's going on. But look, God is well-pleasing with his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? According to Isaiah 53:10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Can you believe that? That it pleased God the Father to bruise Jesus Christ. For who?
Amen.
I've never had anybody go and take a butt whooping for me. I've never had anybody go and take those things upon themselves. Take my shame upon themselves. Take the cruelty of mankind upon themselves for me. I've never had somebody say, hey, I'll take your place in jail and prison. Hey, I'll take your place as a drug addict. Hey, I'll take your place as an addict. I've never had anybody do that. But here it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. He's taken your grief and he's taken my grief and he's taken it upon himself, and it pleased God the Father to do so. Why? So that you can be made free. So that you can have a different life in Christ. God the Father is pleased with what Christ has done for us.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for it. And don't worry about getting excited about it. He just done that for you. Go ahead and just sit there with your mouth closed and not even realize what Christ has really done for you. Well, look what he says here. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You understand? His soul was made an offering for sin in your place. Let me ask you this. We're condemned without Christ. Where is that condemnation? Where do we end up?
Hell.
So where does Jesus Christ's soul go?
Mm. That's right.
He went to hell to get the keys of death and hell. He went there and he took our sins into hell.
Yep.
Understand that. He says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So we know that his spirit's with the Father. Where's his body then, Mike? His body's in the tomb. His soul's in hell. Why? Because his soul was made an offering for sin. He had to complete that perfect sacrifice. He became that sacrifice according to Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 30. This is what it says. It says that if you bring an offering for sin, that blood had to be sprinkled. Did it stop there? Could you imagine if it just stopped at the blood? There's a covenant of blood that Jesus Christ had to go through. But that covenant of blood, it didn't just stop there. That what happened to that animal? The animal could not be eaten because it was an offering for sin. So it had to be burnt out the gate, without the gate. It says Jesus Christ also had to be burnt without the gate. How did that happen? His soul goes into hell with our sins.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
That's the condemnation. My condemnation wasn't to hang on a cross.
Right.
You show me where it says that I have to pay the penalty of hanging on a cross. It did.
Yeah.
My penalty that I was going to have to pay is hell.
Yes.
So where does Christ do go to finish the whole sacrifice? He says, I didn't come to the get rid of the laws and prophets. He said, but I came to fulfill those.
Yeah.
He came to fulfill those, Amy, so you didn't have to go there.
Amen.
And you know what it did? You know what the Bible says? That it pleased God the Father to do that to his son. To put him through that grief. To take him and not only beat him and not only crush him like the meat offerings was crushed, right? They were bruised. Well, Jesus Christ went through that and then his soul became an offering for sin in hell according to Acts chapter 16, according to Acts chapter 22, according to Acts chapter 13. Why, Mike? Because he's seen us. He looked down and he seen our face and he said, I'll go.
Amen.
He's sweating drops of blood in that garden. Why? For himself? Because he's about to face the ultimate punishment. What is that? God the Father is going to turn his head from him. For the first time in eternity, the Godhead's about to be separated. That dove in the Old Testament where the head is rung off. That's a picture of the Godhead being separated for the first time in eternity. God the Father turns his head from Christ. Why? Because all of our sin is poured upon him. All that grief, all that bruising, all that everything, all that shame is poured on Jesus Christ on that cross. He said, it is finished. What's finished? He hasn't even resurrected yet. He hasn't even brought the blood up into heaven. So what is finished? His earthly ministry. He is getting ready to complete the whole law. It's finished. His earthly ministry is going to be no more. It's done in the flesh. It's nailed to the cross. He takes our sins into eternity. He pays. His soul goes into hell with our sins. Pays that ultimate price. Goes over through that gulf of fixed and preaches in Abraham's bosom for 3 days. Raises again with them the resurrection. Those people that are in Abraham's bosom are now resurrected up into heaven.
Amen.
What did he do that for? Us.
Amen.
And it pleased God the Father to do so. Could you imagine that? I could not imagine taking my child and running them through that for somebody else.
Amen.
Look, we're not just talking about giving up the sacrifices. And thank God for those veterans that gave their lives for others. Thank God for that. I'm not trying to take that from them. But look, when they gave up their lives, it didn't save anybody's soul. All those people that they saved, right? Some of them have even jumped on grenades to save those people around them. And the sad part is, it didn't save those people's soul. It saved their life only.
Yeah.
But not Christ's death. Not his burial and resurrection. It saved us for eternity, not only our lives here on earth, but for eternity, our soul for eternity. And look, it pleased God to do that. Shouldn't it please you that he'd done that for you?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Why are we so cold towards that today? Why do we not think of what Christ really had to pay, that price that he really had to pay for us? And that doesn't, look, that's not even the start of it. First of all, he made the decision to come out of heaven to earth. He gave it all. Then he was born where? How many of you had to live in a manger?
Yeah, come on.
That's where he started. He's up in eternity. He's been there from eternity past. Here he is. He said, Father, I'll go. Now he's born in a manger with a bunch of animals. Why? Because they didn't want to lift him up. He wanted to be low. He's come humble. Yeah. He gave it all, wanted to show everybody how poor he is here as a human. Yeah. Why? Because he's coming to live the life you lived. He's coming to be tempted by that devil after 40 days of fasting. He's going to come and be tempted of that very same thing that we've been tempted of, that power, that money, all those things he was tempted of. But you know what he said? He used the word of God to defeat him.
Yeah.
You know what he's telling us to do? Use that word of God to defeat it.
That's right.
Either we believe it can or it can't. Brother, when people ask me, Dale, how did your life become what it did? I tell them three things. They have a hard time believing it, but here's the three things that changed my life. I got born again. The King James Bible and church.
Amen.
There's nothing else that helped me out there. Trust me, I did it for all those years. Amen. Nothing ever changed me. And anytime I left a rehab or left a mental hospital or I left jail and prison, I left there with the same heart. I left there doing the same, going out there to do the same things. I tried turning over new leaves, but you know what happened to them, Mike? They always turned brown.
Yeah.
That always died. It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
12 years ago this month. In 10 days, brother, it'd be 12 years that I got saved. Yeah. And you know what happened? I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got a new heart named Jesus Christ. Yeah. He came and lived inside of me. And now he didn't set me free. He made me free to go out there and live a new life in Christ. And yet it pleased God the Father to put him through those things for me so that I could have a new life here on earth, but also in eternity. Because we think, I just want a new life here. I just want to get off the drugs and alcohol here. I just want to quit smoking and stop swearing here. That's not all, my friend. We get it here, but it's for eternity. It doesn't end here. If you're a saved, born again person, when you close your eyes and you go off into eternity, life has just begun.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But what do we focus on? Just the things here. It's all, why? Because we are a physical being, but it pleased God the Father to bruise his son. It pleased God the Father to do that to Jesus Christ for what we deserve. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I love the book of Hebrews, and it's a wonderful book to learn from. We can learn a lot from it. Why? Because I believe Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. And let me just say this. God saved Paul, a man who knew the law better than anybody on this entire planet. He knew the Old Testament better. He knew the sacrifices better. And what did he say he was called to? The Gentiles. Why? Because we're once born without the law. The Jews were given the law. They understood the sacrifices and the laws and the commandments. So Paul, Jesus Christ saves Paul to send him to the Gentiles, and he teaches us about the law. Well, you go ahead and take the book of Exodus chapter 25 through Exodus chapter 40, and go ahead and take the book of Hebrews chapter 10 all the way to the end of Hebrews, and guess what you'll find? Exodus.
Yeah.
You'll see Paul teaching the Gentiles. It's a book written to the Hebrews. I get it. But he's also teaching the Gentiles about what he's talking about. You go and read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, all those books that Paul wrote, and every one of those books, he's teaching the Gentiles about the law. Every quote that he makes, he's quoting something from the law and some from the prophets in the back in the day. Why? He's teaching the Gentiles so they can see Christ in it.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Why? He's a merciful God. But look what he says here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16, I just thought this was a good verse to put in because of what God the Father has done and how he's pleased with Jesus Christ. But it says, by him, that's by Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. You see that sacrifice of praise? Sacrifice is being willing to give something up no matter what's going on. No matter if your days are going good, no matter if it's going bad, whether you have money or whether you don't have money, a sacrifice means you're willing to give something up no matter what. And what's he say here? That we are to offer a sacrifice of praise to Jesus Christ. Why? For what he's done to us. He says that offer that sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good. And to communicate, forget not. Why? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know what's pleasing to God? Our praises for what Jesus Christ done.
Amen.
Our praises that he would think of us the way he's thought of us. He likes our praises, and whether we're going through good times and bad times, brother, there are times that I'll be going through something hard, and I'll say, Lord, With clenched teeth, I say, Lord, you know I don't mean this with my heart, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And I have my teeth glaring and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Why? It's a sacrifice. It's something that we're willing to show him, that we're willing to do no matter what's going on. Today, everybody thinks that everything has to be right for us to praise him. But let me just tell you this. If the only thing he ever did was save us, we have a reason to praise him for eternity. But why do we want to praise him, Mike? Only when he does stuff for us. Yeah. Only when you answer my prayers, because I'm going to rub you like a genie. Ha! That's not the God of that Bible.
That's right.
You don't bow down to that nonsense. Oh, no. We ought to praise him. Why? It says to praise him continually because of what Christ has done for us. Because of the salvation that he's given to us. Because he did not have to, but he chose to. People say, Dale, gosh, you know, if God is so loving, why does he cast people in hell? I said, my friends, God chose a cross. They chose to reject it. Therefore, they chose to go to hell, not God. God done everything. Let me just say this. From Genesis to Revelation, God has shown everybody how to get right with him. He's always been after man. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. You go and read this Bible and it shows you from beginning to end how God is always trying to show you how to have a right relationship with him. Always trying to show you the love. Always trying to show you what he's done to get you. Show me another God that's given his own life for you. There's not another God out there that has done what Jesus Christ has done. Well, it's well pleasing to God to give him a sacrifice of praise. You know, to communicate means to impart knowledge or an idea, to inform a person or a people. Don't you want to communicate what Christ has done for you? Don't you want to inform others about the life that he's given you? Don't you want to go out there and tell everybody about the hope that is inside of you? Because I hear people all the time telling me how much hope they have with this Jesus Christ, and they go tell nobody about that hope. Don't you want others to have that hope you supposedly have in you?
Yeah.
You know why most people don't go out there and share hope? Because they've lost that hope in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, come on.
If you have that hope inside of you, it's telling you to go out there and share it. Why? So that they might partake of it.
That's right. Yeah.
My goodness, are we that stingy that we're going to hold on to a hope supposedly that delivered us from the things that we were delivered from? Look, it ain't just the outward things. That was the miracle that happened in my life. It was the bitterness. It was the hatred. It was the trust issues. It was all these things in my life that he delivered me from. I want others to be able to have that hope inside of them. I want them to be able to be delivered from those things. But always, 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 always I hear, well, I want to quit drinking. I want to quit this and I want to quit that. Man, forget the physical stuff. Let God deal with the heart. He'll take away the outward things. I'll tell you this, I didn't start quitting anything until he started getting in my heart. And when he got in my heart and I got saved, those things went away.
Yeah.
One after another, after another, after another. And still to this day, 12 years later, he's still working on getting things out of my life. You know what? God has brought me so far in the last 12 years, it blows my mind. Because for all those years, society, jails, prisons, programs, hospitals, and everything else tried to change me and they couldn't. But Jesus Christ steps into my life. Do I have a reason to communicate, a reason to praise God? I sure do, man, and thank God for it. God is well pleased when we praise him, when we do good and communicate with others. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, if you've turned there, Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You see, God is the one who makes us perfect to do his will. He's the one that matures us. He's the one who trains us. He's the one who shows us. He's the one, as Paul calls it, calls and separates us unto the ministry. You see, many people say, well, I think I have a calling on my life. You've missed it. Because he doesn't only put a calling on your life, but he separates you for that ministry. Paul is very clear on that he was called and separated unto that ministry, okay? So when God called me in 2016 in the Allegheny County Jail and I started walking down that hallway crying, God started separating me for the ministry that he was going to have me in. He started teaching me and allowing me to go through things that I never thought in a million years I would ever go through. He allowed people to cross boundaries that they would I would never let them cross in jail or prison, ever be able to put up with that nonsense. But that's the way God had to separate me and prepare me to send me back to those people in jail and prison. Why? Because they're going to do those same things to me, but I can't react as an inmate.
Yeah.
I have to react as a man of God.
Right.
When they invite me to their private parts, threaten to spit on me, call me out. Yeah, those are the things I put up with. Why? Because God was going to bring me back into the jails and prisons. And guess what happened when I got in there? They did those very things to me.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Sister Barb. What if I would have reacted like I used to? It would have blew it all.
That's right.
Yeah.
You go, man, how did you get through it? Well, number one, by the grace of God.
That's right.
And a lot of tears.
Yeah.
That hurt, man. I used to get in my car. I'm like, so wore. I said, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it home. I'm so tired. Them devils were jumping all over me in them jails, man. They were tearing me up. I said, I'm going to try to make it home, honey, but if I don't, I'm going to pull over and have to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Wow, I was being tore up in there.
Mm-hmm.
But God had to separate me. Why? It says to hear, it says, that make you perfect in verse 21. Make you perfect, make you mature in every good work to do his will. Working in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is well-pleasing to God to see Jesus Christ work in you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It pleases God the Father when he can look down from heaven and say, look at what's going on. Look at the change in their life. Look at the work that's going on in their life because my son now lives inside of them. It's well-pleasing to God to look down from heaven and see Jesus Christ changing a life.
Mm-hmm.
God's well-pleased with that. It's pleasing to God when he looks down and goes, that's because of Jesus Christ. And I said it here earlier, the only reason why liberty behind bars is where it is because of Jesus Christ and faithfully standing on that King James Bible. I'm going to tell you, man, the things that we have been through as a ministry because we stand on that Bible with zero compromise.
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, it has been miserable at times. It has been, look at, the devil offered me those things that he offered Jesus Christ. Here's all this money. 3-4 times, Mike. Over and over again. Look at this, I can put you on a pedestal if you'll just worship me. And if you'll just compromise on that Bible. Compromise on where you stand. This is where I can give you. Over and over again, they was doing that to me.
Yeah.
And most people go, oh, Dale. That must be from God. Let me tell you this. Just because it looks good does not mean it's from God. You better check it. You better make sure you get a hold of God and make sure you're doing the right thing. Those things look real good, didn't they, brother?
Yeah.
It was not like they were bad. Well, it's well pleasing to God when he sees Jesus Christ working in our lives. And those things had to come about. If they didn't come about, who knows where I'd be today. Who knows where liberty behind bars be today? If I would have given it to any one of them, God made it clear to me that if I would have made the choice to go there, our family and that ministry would have been destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. As clear as I'm going to take that next breath, God showed me that.
Amen.
Why? It's because it's well-pleasing for God to look down from heaven to see Jesus Christ working in us. Look at Colossians 3:20. There's three young people in here. Colossians 3:20, look at it says here, God didn't leave you children out, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Children, obey your parents in some things.
Yeah.
Now, that's not what that said. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I hear so many young people say, what can I do to be pleasing to the Lord? Obey your parents. Do what they're telling you to do. It's well-pleasing to the Lord that you obey your parents. There are so many people that I know who are trying to get in the ministry, yet fight with their parents and go, God ain't going to use you in that.
Amen.
You better learn. And I'm telling you, look, I'm just telling you, if I could stand up here and take an hour of your time and tell you about what I have to go through with my mother. But God has not given me an excuse. He's not giving me a way out of that. And he would not use me in the ministry until I started working towards that.
Yeah.
I had to be willing.
Amen.
Not able. He's able. I'm not. But I had to be willing to do that. And that's hard.
Amen.
It was hard for me to be willing to put myself out there. God said, Dale, you're going to put yourself out there in more ways than you can imagine. And one after another, he showed me that he is able when I am willing. How far are you willing to go in your Christian walk? How far are you willing to go in a ministry you think you want? That's a reality. It says, children, are we all children? That's your mother. You're her child. Regardless of how old you are. You may not be under her rules or his rules in their home, but you're still a child of somebody, and your parents still tell you things, and when they tell you things, we ought to listen. You know, the Bible says, cursed is he who takes the law of his mother lightly. When your mom tells you something, now my mom was a wicked woman, she still is, unsaved, just terrible. But you know what, Amanda? There's things that my mother taught me as a child that if I were to listen, I would have been a little better.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible says my mom has a law within her.
Yep.
If my mother's in quicksand, do you think she's going to invite me into the quicksand?
No.
She's going to tell me how to get out of it. Avoid it. Don't come here. Well, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? It's well pleasing unto the Lord, people. Philippians 4:18 says, but I have all and am bound, and abound. I am full, having received the Ephoratus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice well pleasing to God. God is well pleased when we take care of the men of God and his people. Man, I've never seen so many people, not this church, thank God, but so many people who get angry because people take care of the men of God.
Yeah.
God tells us and instructs us to take care of that shepherd, take care of that one who's leading his flock. He tells us to take care of them, and God is well pleased in that. It's a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God when we take care of those men, when we take care of the people of God in our church pews. God is happy with that. He likes that, and it makes him have joy in his heart over his head looking down from heaven and seeing us taking care of our people.
Yeah.
But man, so many people are caught up with the money and the finances. I get it. It's important. Don't get me wrong. It ought to be handled responsibly. But my goodness, we're in the day and age, brother, they don't even want to take care of the man of God. They don't want to take care of the people in the church. They don't want to take care of the needs and electricity and everything else. They don't, all they do is complain about it. But you know what? They don't even know that God is well pleasing when we do that.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you hear of a family, I think my pastor said this. I loved it, Brother Mike, when he said it. If you hear of a family or somebody who's in need, don't go to your pastor in your church and say, let's give some money. Just give the money yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody else, when they see somebody with a need, wants to go everywhere else. Just give it yourself.
Yeah.
If you see somebody with a need, God will take care of you. Oh, can he take care of you? Can he not?
Yeah.
That's something me and my family had to learn is stop going to the church all the time and spending their money. Give yours.
Yeah.
Give your money. You see that need and you're going to go and not do it. God says you're worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I may have misquoted that. He was talking about our regular family, but nonetheless. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 4, it says this. We can turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. And this is what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. I'll take a sip. Just sharing the little things what's well-pleasing to God. Go and study it out. God is pleased with many things, but we're so concerned about how he's going to please us. We leave him out of it. I just think it's a shame that we do that to him. But here it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but as we were allowed of God. You understand? We're allowed of God. It's not like we earned it or we deserve it. He says, but we are allowed of God to be put in the trust with the gospel. Every single one of us sitting in these church pew, God says, I want you to take the gospel, the good news. I've allowed you to go ahead and take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing people aren't asking God for. Mm-hmm. That he's voluntarily wanting to give people. What is that? To go out and take that gospel to people. Why? Because they're praying for everything else. But the one thing here that God, he says here, he says, but we are allowed of God to be put in the trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's a shame to watch it out there today, brother. You know, we're in the Laodicean church age, and to watch men, they're worried about pleasing men. When I go and preach, I am not worried about what people think of me. Yeah. I am not worried about what people think of me when I preach. I do not care about what people want. Look, if I'm preaching a bad doctrine, if I'm preaching something that's not right, then you ought to come up to me and talk to me. You ought to tell me something. Yeah. You ought to bring that Bible and be able to show me. Otherwise, I'm not worried about what you have to say. I'm not worried about what you think of me. Why? Because God has allowed me, he's given me the honor to come and preach that Bible. Amen. I'm going to keep it right down the line, my friends. I'm going to keep it where it is. I'm going to keep it where it belongs. I'm not going to go off and come, if you're into this stuff, that's okay. I'm just telling you. I'm not going to go out there and read somebody's commentary and then come preach it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
God can give me my own messages.
Come on.
And I'm not against it if you have to look something up. I get it. But my goodness, Mike, they're taking the place of the Bible.
Yeah,
right.
You know why people think it's strange doctrine when you hear a lot of stuff today? It's because they're so in tune with hearing what man has to say, they can't hear the word of God anymore.
Yeah, come on, say it again.
You know, colleges, Bible colleges, I'm not against them. But I tell you, they're hurting the young people today.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's no foundation for them young people to go to college. Now they're getting all confused and twisted and tore up, and they're coming out trying to run churches.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
What to God, every young preacher that thinks they're called, let's bring them to the ghetto.
Yeah, come on.
Let's start his first church in the ghetto and see how well he does there.
Yeah, amen.
You know why? Because he's going to put up with that in the pews.
Yep.
We're just going to go ahead and take him straight from college, put him behind a pulpit, and expect them to be okay.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I don't know how I got there, but not being pleased to men, but pleasing God and not man. You know, preachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, missionaries, and witnesses, and it's pleasing to God when we speak the gospel to please him and not men. And there are so many times, including when a story I was telling about my mother, that I was trying to give her the gospel here just a few days ago, just talking to her about Jesus Christ, talking to her about her soul. I don't want my mom to go to hell, regardless of how evil she is. I want my mom to be able to be in eternity. Yeah. And I'm talking to her about the gospel, and I'm just talking to her about Jesus Christ. And man, it turned devilish. For the second time that happened to me, I just told my wife, I said, honey, I think I got to be done. I just can't do it. What am I going to do? She turns so devilish. Her voice changes. Her countenance changes. It just becomes, I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, in my heart, I go, God, why would I keep going to give her the gospel when that's going to happen? Because he told me to.
Sure.
You
know? Yeah.
He didn't give me an excuse. He didn't tell me to stop doing it because it was going to turn that way.
Yeah.
How do I know that every time that I do that way, that it's not just chipping off one little piece at a time?
Amen.
He's given me the responsibility
That's
to go and do that. It's hard.
That's
it's hard.
Good.
I left my mother's house 2 days ago crying. You go, you cry? I'm a man. I cry.
Amen.
If you don't cry, it's because you don't know how to be a man. Men cry. Jesus wept. Jesus, who's God, wept. He had tears in his eyes. It's all right to cry as a man. I was always told you can't do that. That's a lie. Straight from the pits of hell. So man can cry. Man can shed tears. And I shed some tears when I left my mom's house, and I decided I don't know what to do anymore. Oh, ye little of faith. Yeah, are you trying to tell me that you don't think there's hope for your mother? You don't want the accusation on your head from God. How do you answer that? Because he says, as long as that person has breath, there's hope.
That's
right. Whew, that's hard. That's not easy. That's just hard stuff. That's hard living. There are things in our life as Christians, we're going to go through hard things. It's just how it is. We're living in a condemned world.
Yeah.
We're living amongst lost people. It's just how it is. We don't escape sicknesses. Be sick. We don't escape deaths as Christians. We get cancers. Okay? Those things happen. The difference is we have Christ. I watch people time and time again who are not saved. When they die, it's a terrible death.
Yes.
And I watch those who die as Christians, regardless of what they have, go off into eternity with peace.
Yeah.
What a difference.
Amen.
You can see the difference in their face when they die. It's just the peace. Why? They know where they're going to their Savior. And they're going to wake up at His feet, and they're going to cast the crowns if they earn any. They're going to kiss His feet and say, thank you for eternity.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, two more minutes and I'm done right here. 1 John chapter 3, 18 through 24, and then I'm going to close right now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 24 says, my little children, let us not love in word. Oh, God, for people to just shut their mouth and live.
Yeah.
Just shut their mouth and live, because He says, let's not live in just word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And go out there and do those things and do it in truth. In verse 19, and hereby we know, not guess, not hope so, He says, hereby we know that we are. That means it is. There is no doubt whatsoever that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask and receive of Him, because, why do we receive things of Him? Because we keep His commandments. We do what He wants us to do. We do what His instruction book tells us to do. We live to the best of our abilities with Christ living in us to do what God wants us to do. Therefore, He gives us things. Why is encouraging us? But I'm going to tell you this now. Don't always count on that. It's our reasonable service to live for Christ, regardless if we get anything. Anything. Ever at all. If the only thing we ever get is eternity, then that's it. Because so many people are still expecting things all the time. Stop expecting stuff. Live the way this book tells you to, and let God bless you when He blesses you. And if you don't, continue to live the same way.
Yeah.
And here it is. And do those things which are pleasing in His sight. When does He give us things? When we're doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. What is that commandment? Here it is. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know, not guess, that we abide, He abideth in us. How do we know that? By the capital S Spirit, which He has given us. That's not a lowercase spirit. It's not our spirit trying to convince ourselves that we're saved. It's His Spirit that's inside of us that convinces us that we're saved. I'll tell you this right now. Neither Luke nor Autumn have to come up to me every day and ask if I'm their dad. It's naturally instilled in them to know that I'm their father. Well, a saved, born-again person has that Spirit of God inside of them. They don't have to go to God every day and go, am I saved? No, His Spirit already tells you that you're
right.
His child.
Amen.
If you don't have that Spirit witnessing within your spirit, don't try to convince yourself that you are. Let this book convince you. Let Jesus Christ convince you that you're saved. Why? Because He says that it's well-pleasing that He give us the Spirit that we're His children. How about it today, guys?
Amen.
Are we going to start living for what's well-pleasing to the Lord, or continue to live for what's well-pleasing to us? Brother, I'm done.
Amen.